Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're talking about pursuing a passionate interest, something creative. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. As we all know, life is unpredictable. Is there a way to carve out some time to pursue your passionate interest? The Super Bowl's around the corner. I know lots of people for whom watching and talking about sports is a passionate interest. Do you have a passion for collecting something? Snorkeling, kayaking, winter camping, snowboarding, paintballing, calligraphy, walking. Tell me about your passionate interest, the thing that stirs up your creative juice, that gives you energy when you do it. You are my guest, no studio guests, so your calls are especially important. Call us at 203-776-9677. That's 203-776-WNPR. And listen, maybe you dream of doing something because every time you see it, you light up. Or you just want to be the person who's known as that, who's known as the fly fisher or a polo player or a filmmaker, a surfer, a book reviewer, a children's story writer. Tell me what you long to do. 203-776-9677. So to jumpstart this, I remembered that I kept a business card. So I went through a drawer. I was at an event on the East End of Long Island, and artist Lynn Matsuoka of Bridgehampton gave it to me. She paints sumo wrestlers, and she is passionate about this, and I have her on the phone. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. Great to be here.
Tell me how this started. Why are you so passionate about painting these wrestlers?
Well, I found myself in Japan being a fashion illustrator, and I was never really a sports fan of any kind at all, but I saw sumo on television, and it just grabbed me. It's not a decision I made. It was made for me by something else. And I had to find it wherever it was. So I started talking to people, asking where I could go to see it. And I went to a tournament, and they kept throwing me out. I tried to get down to the ring, and they kept throwing me out. So I went to somebody else, and they got me into a practice stable, they call it, where they practice. And I started going every day, and people thought I was strange because I was sitting there every single morning at 7 o'clock. Doing drawings of them. I wanted to draw them. I wanted to capture them in drawings, paintings.
And what is it about them that you wanted to capture?
I guess, how do I put it? It's such an intangible, really, but I guess it's the, they have wonderful shapes, they have wonderful colors. They are so full of energy that I kind of, I connect with their energy and that the drawings for me, and they're so intense. I work with other things like dance also and theater. They're so intense on what they're doing. They're so focused that there's no interference in the energy field. You know, it's a pure kind of energy. I can see them and translate them to my page with no conflict. Self-conscious about my looking at them because they're professional. They're totally intense on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that helps me focus.
Do they train to be that big, or are they just do they come into the world that way?
Well, that's a very interesting question, but it's a complex answer. The brief way I can put it is that some of them come in so big. Some boys under 15, sometimes they have to lose 100 pounds before they can start training because they're too heavy. Mm-hmm. Other guys come in and they have to gain weight because they need the ballast of the weight, but they can start the regimen of the workout right away. So it's an individual thing. They train every single day.
How far does this go back, this kind of sumo wrestling?
It goes back about 400 years in recorded history. I've written a lot of articles on it, so when I have to say that the first story of sumo starts in Japanese mythology, where the East farmers and the West farmers chose the heaviest and strongest son, and they fought to the death, and that represented, the winner represented the side that would have to get best crops that year. Who knows if that really happened? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's had a lot of evolutionary stories through the...
So it goes back about 400 years. When you're drawing these sumo wrestlers, they have a sensual look to them.
Yes, I'm glad you see that.
Yeah, and so it, that must be very interesting to you know, to do the lines of their bodies and that power.
Yes, the bodies, the hair, the beautiful faces. Some of, if you look at it, some of my paintings or drawings, you can see how the hands and the feet are so developed, and but such beautiful shapes. And they're all kind of from the Meiji era, you know, from a couple hundred years ago, with the top knot. And they wear a real top knot. That's really their hair, like geisha and other people in Japan who still have top knots. That's a wig. With the sumo wrestlers, that's their real hair. So they really kind of live in the Meiji Jidai, or the Meiji era. They're an anachronism.
So interesting. Well, I wanted to tell you that we're catching Lynn, it turns out, who also does paintings of horses at horse shows. And so we're catching her in Florida right now. And so we're going to send you to her website. If you'd like to see, you can see her horse work right there right now. But by tomorrow, she says that she's going to have the sumo wrestler work up there, too. And her website is Hamptons. That's plural, HamptonsArtist.com. Thank you much, Lynn Matsuoka. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I can hear your passion for this. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye. Drawings are beautiful. All right, who have we got? Passionate Pursuit, Interest, 203-776-WNPR. Howard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Faith. What a wonderful topic for a cold, blustery day.
Yeah, fun.
You're going to be making a lot of people happy and listening to other people's joy of their... Well, speaking of which, I was driving home the other day during the snowstorm, and you had the reminiscences about snow, and it just made it that much more fun to be driving in it.
Oh, that's so... I'm so glad.
So
that,
thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the show. So
anyway, the topic for today, I'm an engineering educator by day, and in the evenings... A lot of them, I get to be so many other different people because I've been involved for many years now in amateur theater.
And
what fun it is. It's a time sink, but you're around such interesting people and people who put themselves out there on, you know, being in front of an audience is not an easy thing, but even the people backstage and the passion of the people who paint the sets and do the lighting. I mean, it's just an amazing process.
Huh. Which company do you work with?
I've been all over, a lot with the Wyndham Theater Guild. Did a show recently up with the Opera House Players in
And do you
Wardbrook.
Act? Do you act or do you do
I'm a natural ham, so I'm out there. I've been in a lot of musicals, had a lot of leading parts over the years, and just get to be other people, and it's just been a kick.
That is so much fun. That is so much fun. I think when I retire in about 100 years, I think I will do that too. That just sounds like fun.
You'll never retire, Faith.
Thank you so much. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 203-776-9677. Passionate Pursuit is what we're talking about. And, you know, it'd be my hope, I think, to have these calls inspire you if you haven't found yours yet. Yeah, I know there are some folks who say, you know, I'm just not, I wish I had that thing that lit up my life. I just don't have it. And, you know, I think there's something about an inner positioning that way, where if you say, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes open for that thing, you put yourself on alert and you start looking around and you notice something that where you walk toward it and say, wow, what's that all about? Or, you know, I love the feeling I get when I see a movie. Or sing in the shower, and you know there's something that probably gives you energy. So if that's the case, go toward it. You know, it's a toe in the water. It starts that way. Mary Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hi, Faith.
Hi, Mary.
I retired 10 years ago, and I made a joke when I retired that I was going to go and do more drum circles. And I do. And it's fantastic. I love the sound of the... these are mostly African djembe drums, some Native American buffalo drums, whatever kinds of shakers and rattles I can get. And I'm currently facilitating a circle at the Cancer Center in Manchester. I've done senior centers a lot, a couple of things with kids. It depends on where I can find the space and the interest. And it's just absolutely fantastic.
And what happens? You start a rhythm and then...
Well, yeah, and there are specific notes, and some people are... kind of, you will do this note, right? And I just kind of say, well, here's the notes, and we're going to drum, chicka, chicka, boom, boom, chicka, chicka. And somebody, if I said, tone, 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 bass, bass, that, you know, you don't remember that, but you remember, chicka, chicka, boom, boom. And everybody starts to drum. And I get such a big kick out of somebody who hasn't drummed before, picks up a drum and says, wow, I can do this. And I'm looking at them out of the corner of my eye, and I'm saying, oh, gee, you're doing well.
Tell me about your work at the Cancer Center.
Well, I'm lucky that I got a space there. I'm not officially affiliated with the Cancer Center, but there is a lot of information about drumming producing endorphins and doing essentially what meditation does.
Yeah.
In terms of being calming. And then there's a lot of books from both Chinese and American perspectives about vibrational healing and sound healing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and Mary, I once was in Provincetown. I've been going there with my family since I was five and then just continued. It's so beautiful. And there was a sign up that said, at the end of Provincetown, Race Point, at 5 o'clock, as the sun was going down, there was a drumming circle and anybody could come. And so I went to this, and they had, you know, just a bunch of volunteers, and they had bunches of drums, and they started passing them out, and we were sitting on the beach just right near the breaking waves.
Oh, and how fantastic.
There was a kind of leader, and he started with, you know, boom, 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 boom. And it was unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, just through, straight through your body.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's just really brought joy to my life. It makes me feel good. It calms me down. It gives me energy.
Huh.
There was one day I went to a circle. Somebody else, a friend of mine from Massachusetts, did for 3 hours. And I was talking to a friend later, and I'm saying, hey, what you doing? And they're saying, what are you on? I said, I just drummed for 3 hours.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the endorphins were just flying me high.
But isn't that great?
The sound and the feel of it is just absolutely marvelous.
Oh.
And there's a hidden community around, and
you
know, you just got to find it.
All right. Well, we'll watch for those posters. Thank
All
you
right.
very much, Mary.
You're welcome.
Glad to hear about your passionate pursuit. That's what we're talking about on the show. You know, that kind of creative thing that you find that gives you energy. And if they're, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm so busy. I've got this to handle and that to handle. And I know what that feels like, to where you just don't have 5 minutes. But I find that if I commit to 30 minutes a week, you know, I can do that thing. You know, I happen to love drumming and have had an African djembe drum. I play congas. And so I know that feeling. If I set aside some time, I will really work at this thing. Mary, have we got Mary on there? Oh, no, you want a quick break. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'd love to hear from you. You are our guest. I'm solo in the studio. Calls especially important at 203-776-9677. Tell us about your passionate pursuit and inspire somebody else. We'll be right back. You can find what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. Right now, you can see delicious recipes for dinner, value wines, easy cocktails, and much more. Click on programs at WNPR.org for the Faith Middleton Show. We're talking about a creative pursuit, your passionate pursuit, that thing that lights up your life. You know, some people are interested in collecting. I saw online someone has started making custom bicycles. for other bike riders who, you know, have particular desires, wanted to look a certain way, act a certain way, and the people have had so much fun. I talked to a man on the show who goes around collecting old bikes that are, you know, in need of repair. He repairs them and then rides around and sees kids who don't have a bike and gives these kids a bicycle. You know, that's his thing that keeps him energized. So we'd love to hear from you about what it is that lights up your life. We're calling these passionate pursuits. I want to dedicate this show to Connecticut artist Joy Wolke. She is an inspiration to so many, including me, about following an idea. And she, for instance, does these big environmental installations. She does one, for instance, at the quarry in Stony Creek, Connecticut, and she's done them in other places around the country, too, and working in collaboration with so many other artists, lighting designers and sound people, to call attention to the natural environment. And, you know, right now, Joy is facing the challenge of a very serious illness, and she is just keeping on going. She just keeps on going through all of that. So truly an inspiration to me and a lot of other people. Brett, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Faith. I love your show. I listen to at least 3 out of 5 days a week.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you. So what have you got a thing?
I guess you could call me type E personality, and I'm not sure if E is for enthusiast or extremist, but whatever I'm into at the time, I love, and right now, for the last 10 plus years, I've been into mountain biking, but I've also still am into skiing, and I used to be a motorcycle racer.
Oh.
I used to be an investor in the stock market, and when I was focusing on that, I would sleep like 2-3 hours a day because I didn't need any more. I was just into it. But I love mountain biking, all cycling, road cycling. I've got 27 mountain bikes and a few road bikes, and they're different models or different styles of riding and all that. And it's just fun, good exercise, and great camaraderie with other people who are enjoying the outdoors and exercise. Anything that gets your blood pumping and your heart beating and your breathing hard.
So, Brett, how did it start? You know, I, for instance, haven't been biking in ages, and I notice when I get on a bike that it's such a beautiful thing to do, but very quickly I'm exhausted. You know, it can be a little nauseating, you know, because my body's not used to it. So how do you get to be someone who can go long distances?
It takes hours to hours to learn, years to master, and it's always something more. And I'm in the like top 10%. And I only say top 10% because there are some people who make me look like I just got off training wheels. Mm-hmm. And most everyone I ride with thinks I'm a pretty good rider. Yeah, whatever.
Well, how do you start?
I started because when I was growing up, single digit ages, I don't know exactly when. 5 or 8 years old, I took a bike out of the dumpster that had flat tires and maybe bent handlebar or whatever, and I fixed up, and that was my bike for the next 5, 10 years or whatever, and I used to, it extended my circle of influence, my zone of adventure. And then when I was tall enough to ride my mother's bike, I commandeered that and extended my riding. You know, by the time I turned 16, I knew all the streets. I wouldn't get lost. So all I had to do was focus on learning how to drive and not where am I going.
Mm-hmm.
And once I had a car, I extended my range and I got a motorcycle because my mom didn't want me driving her car. That's how I got into motorcycle road racer after a few years, won a number of regional national.
So,
and then when
so
I got really into motorcycles, I realized how out of shape I was. And I was like, "What? I'm a heavy duty bicyclist. How am I out of shape? Oh, since I got my motorcycle, I haven't ridden in the last 5-10 years.
So
I got back into riding.
So you're an adventurist is what I've decided, Brett. You're an adventurist. Thank you so much.
If you don't want to go riding with us, I've got plenty of bikes to come on.
Oh, you would be so sorry. You know, I would really be holding you back. I'd be still in the last town. You'd be in the next
fine.
Town.
We ride in different groups. Some Some are mixed, and we don't leave anyone behind. No one gets lost.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'm glad you called. Thanks so much for listening to the show.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. I guess I'm asking you, what is it? Maybe you haven't found your thing yet, as we're going to hear more of these calls. Your passionate interest. Maybe you haven't found it yet. But I suspect you've had that thought. Oh, I hope if I had all the time in the world, if I won the lottery. And I think life is short. You know, it's so unpredictable. What's to prevent us from dipping a toe in the water? If you've thought, I would love to help animals in some way. Well, why couldn't you start a small animal rescue center? Get a bunch of people together, feel the same way you do, or do the animal rescue training. Maybe you have an animal that you adore, and you watch these people who go into hospitals and nursing homes and cancer centers to visit the elderly with a therapy dog, and there are courses you can take with your dog and get the dog registered. If the dog is, not aggressive in any sense, get the dog registered as a therapy dog. And what a thing that is. I just met a man the other night who retired, and this is what he decided to do. And he loves it. He just loves it. Linda Faith Middleton, welcome to our show on Passionate Pursuits. Go ahead.
Hi, Faith. Hi. Thank you. I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, thank you.
I've tried to call in before, but I've never made it.
Well, good. I'm glad you're on.
My thing is, I sing women's barbershop.
Oh, really?
And it is amazing. It's a cappella music, and there's actually a couple of large international organizations, but it's just the greatest feeling to make music with just your voice and three other people.
Well, how did you get into that? How did you find this?
I actually grew up with it. I'm what's called a barbershop brat. My mother started it when she was pregnant with me in the 60s. And it was really big in the Midwest at the time, and that's where I was born. And now it's all over the world. There's huge, amazing courses in Sweden and New Zealand and Australia and other parts of Europe. And the best thing is every year there's an international competition where everyone from all over the world comes. And you ride buses to and from the contest to your hotels, and you get on a bus with people from all over the world, and you all know the same songs, and you all get to sing together the whole time.
Wow. So I was going to ask, when you do those songs, we've all heard some of those barbershop songs. Are they always those kinds of songs? Could you take a contemporary song and do it and change it into barbershop?
Absolutely. Yeah, the chorus that I sing in, some of our repertoire is like newest stuff would be Black Horse and the Cherry Tree, if you've ever heard that. Uh-huh. Heart Eagles songs, a lot of, I can't think of anything at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But I'm interested. That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 203. See, I hadn't thought of that one. A woman's barbershop. 203-776-9677. I was reading online about a man who had always wanted to make wine. And so he said, I'm just going to try this. And, who cares if I make a mistake? And so he ends up making 2 barrels of wine in his basement. And then it said online that he kept doing it. And kept doing it, and now he has a vineyard, and he produces about 80 barrels a year. Some of them have won some pretty snazzy awards. But one of the things that he then began to get interested in, ceramics. And so as a potter, he thought, why can't I make art bottles that this wine goes into? And so I think it said in this story I read that he had... One was just auctioned off for $10,000, one of his art bottles of wine. I thought, look at that, how this, for a charity event, look how this thing took off. And he's in love with what he's doing. Pete Faith Middleton, welcome to the show on Passionate Pursuits. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Faith. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I'm glad you're on.
I'm also another avid listener of your show at least 3 to 5 times a week.
I'm
driving all the time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, NPR is just a part of my life anyway. I'm passionate about NPR, believe it or not.
Oh, that's me too.
So Three things I'm passionate about, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. Number one, being the best human being that I could possibly be, and that is thanks to my recent, in the past few years, discovery of Buddhism and how it's really transformed my life, really opened my eyes to a lot of things. The philosophy itself is beautiful, and I suggest anybody who's looking for something different or just wants to know a little bit deeper side of life to look into that. Also, I'm passionate about creating music. I'm a musician. I'm a guitar player, a drummer, a bass player, a keyboard player. So I spend countless hours writing and recording my own music. It's just, if I could do it without sleeping and eating, I would do it.
There's a sign
right
there.
Yeah, and the last thing I'm passionate about is my daughter and raising the best possible human being I can. I'm going through a really hard time in my life right now, and I'm trying not to let that interfere with my raising a really good kid.
Uh-huh.
And she's just a really awesome little girl who's the battery of my life, and hopefully I could teach her all the good things that I've learned, and that's what I'm very passionate about.
Oh, well, you sound like you're on the right path, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you so much.
Sure, thanks, Faith.
Really glad you participated. That was terrific.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
203-776-9677. There is that, they talk about being in flow, and if you have found something that you love to do, you're in it, and you lose track of time. I'm sure everybody has had that experience, a few times. So that is great. But I've done some things where I thought, I could do this. I don't care if I eat again. I remember working on a particular show with a friend of mine, Diane Orson, who was just the most spectacular reporter and here at WNPR. And she and I worked on this thing together. And I remember she said, she had a family. She said, I have to go home and cook dinner. And I thought, oh, why? We're doing this documentary. Why do we have to eat and sleep? This is just too incredible. Oh, what a feeling that is. Just amazing. You feel so alive when you have that feeling. Sometimes these things, these passionate pursuits, just kind of light up your life. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as I'm describing. Love it. Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a quick question here because I listened to your first person talking about the sumo wrestling and the pictures, and I rode to Tokyo 25 years ago with someone who did that, and I've been trying to trace her ever since. Was it hamptonsartist.com?
Yes. Yes, Hamptons is plural, artist singular.
Great, and her name was Lynn, so I'm wondering if this is the lady.
I would think it is. I don't think there are too many women artists who specialize in sumo wrestling drawing.
Yes. Well, I'm calling because I figured my passion and my interest was unique enough to be worth talking about. I operate a private railroad car that I maintain and renovate and take all around the United States. And last year we did around 25,000 miles traveling charter trips for the most part. Every once in a while I'm the chef. And this is a 1928 railroad car that was built originally for the last of the Vanderbilts to operate the New York Central. So it's pretty all-consuming.
Wow. And you've restored that car?
It's fully restored. It can go 110 miles an hour. And we attach it normally to regularly scheduled Amtrak trains.
How amazing. So what's the longest trip you've ever been on?
Well, this 12,604-mile trip last fall out to the West Coast with a group from Newport for the America Cup races. Then we went back and forth between Oakland and Los Angeles and San Diego, down to Seattle, up to Los Angeles, and then back to Seattle. And these were like eight different back-to-back charter trips.
Oh, what fun.
So the car we keep in Bethel, Connecticut, and the passion is working on it most of the winter so that it can do this kind of thing. So I have a 9-person volunteer group that works with me, and we're all pretty dedicated. So our commonality with your other callers is it's all high energy and all high work and all high passion.
Oh, I love this. Thank you so much for calling, Lovett.
Let me say, if people have an interest in seeing pictures or reading about it, the website is nyc-3.com.
nyc-3.com.
Yes, for New York.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to
talk to you. Okay, bye-bye. Megan, so he's hard at work. It's wintertime, getting everything ready. Megan, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Megan.
I'm calling because my passionate pursuit is modern dance. And I have been dancing with a wonderful group of women now for, oh boy, I think 7 years. And we range in age from 25 up to 61. And we get together twice a week.
25 to 61.
Yeah.
I like that.
My mother and my sister are in it as well.
Huh. And who's choreographer? How do you decide?
We all, so it's a collective, so there's no head or director.
Yeah.
So we all agree. It's like it's very democratic. And
You mean agree on a theme, like freedom or?
No, we don't do theme. We agree just basically on the rules and when we're meeting and what time and who's doing what piece. Anyone can choreograph, and we use each other in our pieces. So each piece is different, and it's different each year.
Really? Do you invite people to come and see it?
We have guests who will sometimes also dance with us. And our show is always the last weekend in February in Middlebury, Connecticut at Westover. And this year we have a wonderful piece done by Judith Irma Shapiro. She is a dance therapist who dances with us. And it's all about aging and kind of how, you know, from childhood to adulthood.
Great.
And how even when you get older, how sometimes as a dancer, your body doesn't quite do what you want it to do anymore.
I know. There is, have you seen the movie Frances Ha?
I haven't.
Oh, you have to see it. I just watched it the other night, and I think it's one of my favorite movies in a long time. Frances Ha, H-A.
Okay.
And there's a lot about dance in there, but it is terrific about friendship and intimacy, a connection, eccentricity. It's just terrific. I adore this movie. So, and there's a lot about dance in there, so I think you'll really like it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, do you want to say, do you have a website or something, your little group?
We do. It's the Kiva, K-I-V-A, dancecollective.com. All the information on our show is up there.
Kiva, dancecollective.com, K-I-V-A. Okay, thanks for being on the show. And
thank
we
you.
Invite you, okay, take care. 203-776-9677. Tell us about your passionate pursuit. Inspire somebody else to find one. We'll be right back. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, F-A-I-T-H-W-N-P-R, or join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. Also to our production assistant, Marion Roy. Here we have on the line, we're talking about passionate pursuits. It reminded me of an old friend, Eve Fader, who lives in Connecticut. And I remember him so many years ago getting so interested in two things, building harpsichords, which is what he does almost all the time, and doing this thing called tiny radio theater. He has all kinds of recording equipment, you know, that he's all jerry-rigged together, and he does these little teeny theater pieces that are, you know, well, they're what they say they are, tiny radio theater. So funny, so interesting. So there's someone who has found a passionate pursuit. He's one of these guys who's interested in so many kinds of things. David Faith Middleton, welcome to our show.
Oh, hello, Faith. Goodness. Well, I play the violin improvise in a classical way.
That's really
my passion. I met you at the opening of the New Haven of Union Station and the reopening.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I was playing something silly, a pretend opera, and the violin, a little bit of the violin. But I've gotten a little more serious on the serious side. But it comes out in the classical style, though, and with plenty of double stops that, of course, like to be in tune because they give a subharmonic also, and they recommend it to any string players or piano players, you know, who play classical music, which is always a little hard for me, but it's a wonderful. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to just let the fingers wander.
David, I love that because, well, as everybody well knows, classical is written down, and that's the way it goes. And there aren't a lot of, except for composers sitting around making this up, improvisation has been left to the jazz world. And so to hear you improvising in a classical form is so wonderful.
Oh, I highly recommend it because it's a little bit like water running off a duck's back. But you must be relaxed, of course.
Yeah, that's great. Where do you do this?
I'm sorry?
Where do you do this?
Oh, I live in Woodbury, Connecticut.
So do you ever go out in public and do it?
I have, but I have a strange hearing condition called hyperacusis. Only 1 in 50,000 people have it, but a firecracker went off 20 years ago. Boom! It sort of grounded me.
And so that grounded you?
Somewhat, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I haven't made it to New Haven in all too long.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure you're at work right in the house there, you know, doing your concert. So I think that's fantastic.
Well, golly, we keep on working at it. And although I'll be out and about.
Good
sometime
for you.
Soon.
Good for you. Good. You're out right now, just talking to me.
Well,
thank you so much.
All the best to you.
You
all,
too, David.
Always.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't he sweet? 203-776-9677. You know, I think about David having this thing that charges him up, lights up his life, keeps him connected to the world. There he is. He's describing himself as pretty homebound, and yet you can hear the joy in him from doing this thing. I hear this from musicians so much, the joy in their lives from just playing. Of course, artists of all kinds I hear this from. Michael, hi, Faith Middleton.
Hi, Faith, how are you?
Great, great to have you on.
Thanks. So I actually, in recent years, I recently graduated college, but throughout college, my passion was paintball. I'm another adventurist. And I actually, I operated the club that we had at my school in upstate New York. And I met some of the most interesting people that I think I will probably ever meet, because there's such a massive range of different people that you come across. But we had a blast. Our team went to nationals in Florida. We played a couple of games every year at West Point Military Academy with
just six or seven hundred
people running around in the woods at Lake Frederick twice a year, and it was an absolute blast.
So can I ask you to explain something? My great nephew is absolutely crazed over, and he's very good at it, and it takes a lot of skill. You know, people aren't just standing around, you know, firing aimlessly. I mean, it takes a lot of coordination, skill. Can you explain that to folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there are a couple of different kinds of paintball, right? There's woods ball and there's speed ball, and woods ball is, you know, typically what people think of. You go out in the woods and you know, you have a couple teams and you have set objectives, and then there's speedball, which is really more tournament-based play. And speedball really is, you know, it's a lot of skill, but it's a lot of paint flying in a lot of different directions, and it can be very expensive and turn people off the sport. I played mostly woodball, and it's very team-oriented and it's very objective-based. But you know, you have to kind of balance working as a team to gain some ground, and you have to make sure that you're not shooting in the wrong direction, and it takes it takes a lot of practice to get good at. And then there's also, you know, things like equipment come into play and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you're having fun. That is great. Yeah, thank you.
It's a good time, and I just wish there were more places to play in southwestern Connecticut.
I know, and not so expensive. I wish that for the sport, too, because there so many kids have gotten interested in it, and, you know, struggling parents, it's so hard for them to, because it can cost a couple of $100 for one of these sessions when you're going into these places.
Well, it doesn't have to. You know, it can. Where I played in upstate New York, it was typically $25 for a weekend, and then you bring your own paint and rentals cost $10 for a day. So you could play for as little as $50 for a weekend if you try. To be cheap.
Yeah.
Well, not cheap, but, you know, keep costs down.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye. 203-776-9677. Here on the show, we are talking about pursuing passionate pursuits, that kind of creative act in your life that sort of lights up your life in some way. I was thinking about how whether people make judgments about being good at the thing, you know, how good do you have to get at something that you just love? And then there's this question of whether it's smart to make it a business if you're good at it, or you just love it so much that you want to do it all the time. What happens to that love if it becomes a business? Does it stay there? Or does it get diluted in some way because it gets all mixed up with all those business things that go with business? Rosemary, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Faith. Thank you so much for having me on. I love your show.
Thank you so much. So,
I came upon my passionate pursuit. It took me a long time to kind of figure out exactly what it was. I started as a child always being very interested in crafts. I love to make things. And over the years, I've had so many different hobbies, and I would just say to myself, can you just settle on one thing? Can you just choose one of these hobbies and get really good at it? And what I decided, there was a common thread. I love to make things. I love the old-fashioned traditional crafts. I make soap. I've been making my handmade soap for about 23 years. Love it. I have so much fun putting little flower petals and herbs and different essential oils, and I've been doing it for 23 years. But other things as well, I love to knit and spin. I make maple syrup. I can't wait to get out there and tap my maple trees.
Oh.
All of these things, and I said to myself, well, there's got to be a common thread here, and I decided that my passion actually was kind of keeping those traditional crafts alive. One thing that I started a few years ago was cheese making.
Oh.
And I loved making homemade cheese, and I was talking to someone about it, and they said, oh, my grandma used to do that. And I would say, well, you know, how's grandma doing? Oh, she passed away 20 years ago. You know, and all of that knowledge and skill and experience left with her. And that's what I feel really badly about, is that we're losing these traditional crafts. What I call the practical arts, because, yes, grandma had to make cheese to feed her family, but she didn't have to put it in such a beautiful little dish and present it with, you know, homegrown herbs and things like that. She did that because she was proud of it, you know. It's a practical art.
You are, you know, just listening to you, what the thought went winging through my head. I think I'll go home. I think I'll learn how to make candles, because I love to have lots of candles lit all
That's
around.
That's going to be my next thing. I'm going to start beekeeping.
Oh, you're going to do your own. Thing. You really are going for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got. So how about spinning? Do you do a loom? Have you been near a loom yet?
I have. Years ago, I took a weaving course at the Farmington Valley Arts Center.
Oh, good for
you. And I loved it. It was one of the things that didn't really stick. I found that it was kind of hard to bring home and just having room for that kind of thing. But I loved it.
Good for you. Thank you so much for calling the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. You sound like you'll never be bored. No, never. Okay, 203, bye-bye, 203-776-9677, here as we talk about passionate pursuits, that thing that sort of brightens your life. Leanne, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Faith. As everyone else is, I'm enjoying your show tremendously.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And, well, one of the things that occurs to me, who has a, I have several passions, is that you don't have to do your passion every day, every minute. Mm-hmm. And listening to what everybody has been saying sort of liberates me to feel that I can have a passion, or any of us can have a passion, without having to have it become who we are 24/7.
Mm.
And that's a really big liberation for me.
Yeah. So do you have one?
I do, and I noticed, I knew it was a passion today because I have a small art studio outside, unattached to the house, and it's so cold, as you know. I live in East Haven, and I was standing on a heating pad out there working on my metal sculpture, which is what my passion is. And and so I started metal sculpture, metal bashing, some people call it. It's welding and working with metal at the age of 63 with no art background whatsoever. And it has been the kind of thing that has changed the way I see the world. It changes my dreams. It changes what I have to talk about, what I have to offer, the things I can make as gifts for friends. And when you're in the process of creating something from nothing, it's a transported world. You're just in another place, and all other thoughts settle like feathers to the ground. It's really quite amazing. And by the way, you asked about the business part, and would you turn your passion into a craft or a this or that into business? In my mind, maybe it's because of my age, I see it as a luxury that if we have a passion, we can do it.
Mm.
And so there's no business in it for me, although I've sold a few pieces, but I don't actively promote any of that kind of stuff.
Well, Leanne, thank you for your eloquence.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to say, too, that that my sister-in-law wrote a wonderful book. It's in print, but I don't know exactly where to find it. It was called The Blank Canvas by Anna Audette. And it's about getting started. And so, you know, we all have a blank canvas around us all the time. And whether it's starting a letter or a book or a sculpture or planting your yard, whatever it is.
Are you Lewis's sister?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I hope he's not listening. He'll be mortified that I'm telling all these deep things about myself.
Oh,
but
no, he wouldn't. He would not. Thank you so much for calling the show.
It's a pleasure to talk with you,
yeah,
Faith. And I know you and Lewis are in great contact, so
yes.
I'll tell him all about this.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for this show. It's really
I know,
inspiring.
Fun for me, too. Inspiring.
But this show in particularly, it's just terrific.
Yeah, me too. I feel that way, too. I want to go home and do something. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Andrew, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show, Passionate Pursuits.
Hi,
Andrew, you have about a minute. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, hi, Faith. Oh, yeah, I just got to say this show is great. This is a great topic.
Oh, thanks.
Mine was like a passion that was lost for a few years. I had a younger sister, and she played basketball, and I coached for her team.
Oh.
And every time before practice or before a game, I'd get butterflies in my stomach, and it just excited me so much to get there and just teach the kids how to it's not just learning a game, but just learning about life. And
I know. I love that. Coaching, that's terrific. Thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you for calling.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. If you didn't get through this time, we hope we catch you next time. And thanks to all of you who did jump in on Passionate Pursuits. As always, this show is about the richness of life, and you can find the books, people, great recipes, value wines, and cocktails that we're featuring right now at WNPR.org. Click on Programs in New Haven. I'm Faith Middleton.